You're listening to the Complete Human Podcast with me, Evan DeMarco.
And me, Jana Breslin.
A podcast where we combine our decades of experience as health and wellness experts to educate you on how to bio-optimize your way to becoming a complete human.
We are on a mission to inspire the necessary change we need to ensure a thriving existence for all. That's why with every episode, we bring you real science, deeper intelligence, and actionable takeaways in hopes of not only changing the trajectory of your health, but changing the trajectory of the entire human race. Are you ready to become a complete human?
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Complete Human Podcast with your hosts,
Jana Breslin
and Evan DeMarco. We have been talking about oral health for years and what that means for our general health and wellness. Now, from heart health to brain health to breathing, there is a very interesting science behind why optimizing our teeth is beneficial for us long term. Now, today we get to take a deep dive into the human mouth with Dr. Lynn Hirst, co-founder and chief dental officer of Candid.
But before we jump into the interview, we wanted to remind you that we have an enormous amount of articles about wellness, healthy lifestyle, mental health, and interesting things and research that's happening in our planet, all on CompleteHuman.com. So be sure to check out those articles, you guys. We put a lot of effort and education into them, and we hope you find them valuable.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that we really want to talk about are reviews, because we like them.
We love them.
We love them. It gives us feedback. It lets us know that you guys are interested in what we're talking about. It also helps us kind of course correct as maybe we provide stuff you don't want to listen to or do want to listen to or whatnot. So right now, we're offering a really cool special to all of our listeners out there, is if you guys write a review and screenshot that review and send it to us either on social or on email, we're going to send you a free bottle of Complete Human Vitamin D and Zinc. Now, of course, we're hoping that you don't give us a one-star review. So, you know, if you've got some constructive criticism, please leave that. But keep in mind that, you know, we want to know that don't be afraid for a nicer than one star review.
We'd appreciate it.
So remember, guys, yeah, so write a review, screenshot it, and send it to us either social media or email, and we will send you a free bottle of Complete Human Vitamin D and Zinc. So not only do you get education, information, inspiration, but you also get to get healthier with some stuff that we're going to put in your mouth, which coincidentally enough coincides with today's topic.
It does. Yes. So speaking of today's topic, Evan and I have both been using Candid to straighten our teeth the last couple months, and it has been so easy. I had many, many years of braces growing up, so when I noticed my teeth shifting again as an adult, I wanted my straight teeth back, but without the metal mouth again, because I don't know if that would have been, I don't know if you would have liked that. I wouldn't have liked it.
You could have slept in the guest room.
Anyways, so Candid was the perfect option for me and us. We both have been using it. The setup process was incredibly easy, and the process of straightening has been exciting to see my smile change every other week. So head on over to CandidCo.com to optimize your teeth and smile. You will not regret it.
No, you won't. Not only do you not have the metal mouth that you have to wake up to in the morning, but now one other thing I want to add to this too, just, you know, kind of a quick thing is I've noticed my breathing. You know, you've talked about me snoring in the past, and we actually talk about mouth breathing in this episode and what structurally, you know, that means and how we can fix that using something like Candid. But I mean, just me breathing wise and, you know, being able to track my breathing on a nightly basis, I've noticed that my numbers are coming down. So there's some really cool stuff that Candid does beyond just the cosmetic of you know, straightening your teeth.
It's so fascinating. So we can't wait to dive into this one.
Cool. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Lynn Hirst. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Complete Human Podcast with your host,
Jana Breslin
and Evan DeMarco. Today, we get to talk about something that, this is a fascinating one for me and for a couple different reasons. I just dropped my almost 8-year-old daughter off at school in her braces and her orthodontics. And I was thinking back to when I was 8 years old, and I don't remember anybody having those.
That's young.
But it's common now. We're seeing more and more of that. And so, you know, oral health, as we've kind of embarked on our journey of health and wellness, we recognize how important oral health is. Now, there's the structure, there's, you know, what goes on in the mouth. So today we get to dive into all things oral. Pull your mind out of the gutter.
Oh, I love how we laugh, though.
Thank you. I'll pay you $20 later. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to introduce Dr. Lynn Hirst, co-founder and chief dental officer of Candid. And this is something you and I have both been doing, but we're going to get into oral health first. Dr. Hirst, thanks for joining us.
It is completely my pleasure. Thank you guys for inviting me on. Anytime I have an opportunity to promote oral health, I'm all in. I've, just a little history about me. I've been in dental medicine for 37 years. Okay. So that's a long time. Things have changed a lot over the tenure since I started dental school in 1980. And, the conversation has always been around, affordability and accessibility for dental medicine. So it has been outside the mainstream, I would say, of health. And my colleagues intentionally have resisted moving into the mainstream of medicine. And it's, probably it's dollar driven, because we remained a cottage industry up until probably the last 10 years. And that cottage industry never allows for the scalability to attach to affordability and accessibility. Veterinarians are still pretty much cottage industry. All of my medical colleagues in dental medicine, there's 9 specialties. Orthodontics and dental facial orthopedics is one. It's the largest of all the specialties. Medicine has hundreds, if not thousands, of specialties and subspecialties. So what happens, you break dental medicine down into 9 parts. You break medicine down into hundreds of parts. The advantage of dental medicine over medicine is it makes it a little bit easier for the consumer, the patient, to be able to understand what is going on, because you may go to an internist. The internist refers you to a cardiologist. The cardiologist refers you to a radiologist. The radiologist refers you to a cardiothoracic surgeon. The cardiothoracic surgeon schedules a procedure. So it's like you all of a sudden you get really confused. And in the era of third-party reimbursement, with my insurance, I have no idea what my healthcare costs are. So you disassociate the consumer, the patient, from the cost of care. And that's why medical care has gone kind of crazy, in my opinion. Because if you had to put money on the table or write a check or swipe a credit card or Venmo the doctor, you could PayPal your doctor, you figure out what you want to do. It would keep you in tune with your own oral health care. So there's some things about dental medicine that are actually superior, but there's some things about affordability and accessibility that are inferior. And as a practicing orthodontist for many of my professional years, I also have been in academics. I started and got accredited 3 orthodontic residencies. I was the founding dean of a dental school. So I left the great state of Texas, went out to Nevada. Nevada wants to be California, so I was in wannabe California. And and actually enjoyed my time out there, starting my 3rd orthodontic residency. We combined the specialty with an MBA, because so many of my professionals, so my colleagues, we're thought of as doctors, as all doctors are, in that they separate us from being business people. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, if you've started your own practice from scratch and you've built a successful practice and you've had to be the janitor in the office and the repairman in the office, and you've had to do HR and you've had to manage the finances, so you were CFO and then you were the CEO, it gets complicated. So I wanted my students, I wanted my students to actually be able to enter into the profession and have a head start and be able to go to the bank, go to their business colleagues and speak that language, not doctor language, because doctor language is a little bit jarbled, but speak the language of profit and loss, spreadsheets and all of these things that go on. So anyway, yeah, candid, 5 years ago, I'm attention deficit. I get bored with things. So I got bored with private practice. I got bored with academics. The only thing left for me to do was to retire or to do something I always wanted to do, move into the space of telemedicine. Now, telemedicine wasn't even a word back in early 1980s. And it became very prominent during the last few years of COVID. So, we were in that space. We are now, as you guys may or may not be aware, we're moving away from the direct to consumer, which I don't really like that word. I call it direct to patient. Okay, because patients are consumers, but it's when you get into a doctor-patient relationship, it becomes very private and very personal. It could be your dentist, could be your OBGYN, it could be your internist, it could be your urologist, whatever it is, it's a personal relationship. So you have to attend to those things. And I'm a person who has, you know, I'm not very bright and not very smart. So I've always built great people around me so that they always make me look better than I am. And so my talent is building teams that really can represent my nerdness in a very user-friendly way. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm going to stick to that for a bit.
Wonderful.
I love that.
Well, there's definitely a lot there that we want to get into, and especially, you know, your experience, you know, setting up Candid. Before we do that, I think we'd like to lay the foundation of kind of oral health. And one of the things that I really would love your take on is something that's kind of plagued me about oral health for a long time, and human beings seem naturally adapted to this planet. You know, homeostasis is something that our bodies all strive for, and assuming that we're not eating Pringles and ice cream on a daily basis, we seem to naturally be able to kind of develop this equilibrium within our environment. It's only in the realm of orthodontics and oral health that it seems like there's this prevalence of something going on our mouths that's not natural. And I'm curious what makes our mouths so unique to the human species, where we constantly need some type of interventions, wisdom teeth being pulled out, you know, braces, expanders. It something seems to be funky with the human mouth compared to the rest of the body.
That's an awesome question. And you would make a great orthodontist, because that's what the inquiring mind of an orthodontist speaks to. Because of, you know, wherever you stand on evolution, wherever you stand on a lot of different things, if you look at the, you know, anthropology, and you look through the historical records, there's things that are very clear. If you take a very homeostatic, okay, to use your word, or let's say a specific ethnicity, or someone, even today, if you find a tribe in the jungles of Brazil, they have developed a system where there's no mixing of genetics. It's pretty pure, and so, therefore you don't introduce all of these different types of malocclusions. And malocclusions, let me describe that. It's two Latin words. Just basically means bad bite. Okay. So if any of you took Latin in high school, I probably not very many people do that.
Right here.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yep. Unfortunately.
You know what? That's congratulations to you, because that's not a very common thing these days. But if you go into medicine and you go into pharmacology and you go into a lot of things, Latin is the derivative of almost all of the Western languages. Okay. You can look at Italian, Spanish, English, French. They all kind of derived from Latin. So that puts you a head start of a lot of people. But if you look at a very homogeneous culture, not culture, but genetics, there's not really much in the way of malocclusions. And this goes back a long, long way through the study of anthropology. And when we started becoming more nomadic and mixing together, okay, whether it's an Englishman with a Frenchman, okay, or an African with a German, you start doing all those things. What you do is you have certain architectural features, could be tooth size, could be jaw structure. For me, I am a mixture of Native American Indian. My mom is Choctaw Indian. My dad is English Irish. Okay. So now you go past that, and we start doing genetic testing, 23andMe, or we do Ancestry.com. It turns out that I'm 2% Congo. Okay. So there's an amalgamation. Okay. That's a term in dentistry. Okay. Of course, people don't use amalgam anymore because it has mercury in it. So not very good. So if you have that, you might want to get that out of your mouth. And all the dentists who did that is, I never really practiced general dentistry, but in dental school, we just handled amalgam that was mercury, had mercury in it. So really not very smart. So I told you I wasn't very smart. So, you know, when we start looking at that, we start getting all these mixtures of jaw size, tooth size. And when that happens, and then you add on maybe some evolutionary changes related to diet. Okay. The diet that we have today is extremely soft. It's extremely soft. You only have to go back about 100 years and the diet was completely different. It was very, very tough. We are now in the middle of trying to better understand sleep apnea. Well, sleep apnea is when there is, it can start with a pacifier. It could start with some of these genetic mixtures. But at the end of the day, you end up having too narrow of a maxilla or an upper jaw. And if you do that, it has an effect on the development of the maxillary sinus and the maxillary airway and the nasal airway. And then what happens, you have young people, okay, who may or may not have allergies, but they have a dysmorphic jaw structure that is not allowing airflow, and you become a mouth breather, okay? And you become a mouth breather at a young age, your maxilla doesn't develop. So you end up having a small top jaw and you have a larger lower jaw. That doesn't mix up very well in trying to get all of the teeth to fit together. So yes, you would think that would happen in the arms and the legs, and it can, okay? It can, but the mouth is such a dynamic, environmentally affected part of our anatomy, okay? Because we chew, we talk, you have the muscles of mastication, all the facial muscles that are constricting. You have the tongue that is pushing out. You have teeth that may be the wrong size for that jaw. You have all of these things. It is a bonanza, okay, for orthodontists. So maybe I was smarter than I thought. I became an orthodontist because I knew that, you know, I learned this very early in dental school. That we were never going to run out of malocclusions. It's not going to happen. We may come up with a cure for carious lesions. We may come up with a cure for a lot of disease states. We're never going to come up with a cure for malocclusions. So that is, you know, that's kind of where I'm here. And you really hit the nail on the head. That it's a unique part of the body. The oral facial head and neck. Okay. When I was in dental school, we did head and neck. Actually, we split a cadaver, which was kind of gross, but with our medical student colleagues, we did head and neck while they did the torso and the rest of the body. And then the next semester, we split, went in the other direction. And it was always interesting for me. I was enamored by the entire anatomy of the whole body, but my focus was in the head and neck. And if we can lose a lot of parts of our body. You can't lose anything above the head and neck. In a complete manner, and it just doesn't work. You know, you can lose a finger, you can lose a toe. There's other things. We haven't come to the point where we can have an amputation of our heads and fix that. It's very complex, from vascularity, from innervation. The brain complex is the biggest supercomputer in the world, okay? And to understand that helps you understand just the miracle of the body. The body is really phenomenal.
It is. And actually, it makes me think about, I don't know if this is coincidental or not, but I personally have had a stressful couple years and I've noticed that my teeth started crowding. Mm-hmm. I know I grind my teeth at night, I clench my jaw, and I was always curious about the muscles in the face and how that kind of shapes your teeth and if it makes them move more. Because I noticed that with a stressful year, my teeth started shifting more than before.
Again, another great point. Not only in orthodontics do you anticipate 75% of the, let's just say the United States, because that's where we're at. 75% of the population in the United States could benefit from orthodontic treatment. Okay. Does that mean it's severe? Maybe it's mild. And again, it depends on who you are and what you want. Some people who are OCD like me, they want everything perfect. Okay. As I tell my colleagues at Candid, and I've kind of used this throughout my entire professional career, you're imperfect. And this is for the complete human. You're imperfect in search of excellence. That's kind of how I frame how I attend to my patients. I'm imperfect, they're imperfect, but together we're going to establish a team so that we can make it as perfect as you want it to be. Okay? So in that, there's just so many opportunities for us to do that. So the dirty secret of orthodontics. Either one of you could come to me, your 8-year-old daughter could come to me and I could treat her. What she's going through is what we call phase one of two-phase treatment. If parents, okay, sometimes this is driven by parents, sometimes it's driven by the child, but you know, you want to get a head start. I have always been a big fan of when I see the problem, I want to start addressing it and prepare the table so that I've always been an expansion orthodontist. Okay. Now in the world of orthodontics, there's expansion orthodontists and there's extraction or non-expansion orthodontists. Because if you have crowding, you have two choices. You move everything out or you remove something and you constrict everything in. Well, that's not good, in my opinion. That's not good if you have potential airway problems, or let's say we're looking at facial aesthetics for men and women. But if you're a female, Jana, as you were just saying, okay, you've noticed some clenching, bruxing. Those are parafunctional habits that may or may not have anything to do with your oral cavity. It could be other things that are going on, but what you do, it's represented or represented in the oral cavity, because if you have nocturnal bruxing, you're going to potentially wake up with sore jaw muscles. Okay. Could be the temporalis, could be the masseter, could be the pterygoids. It could be any of those, because what you did is you ran a marathon all night long with those muscles. Okay, well, you know, you can run a marathon periodically, but you don't do them every day. So because the body has to have some rest and recovery. Now, there's things that you can do about that. Sometimes the malocclusion may be contributing to that, but it may be something else totally outside of that. So for me, again, I'm from Texas. I like things big. My patients had a big, big, big smile. Okay. You take me, for example, I got a big nose and a big chin. Okay. I'll give you my profile. Okay. It's not good. My wife loves me. That's all that matters. Okay. So when I was young, my parents couldn't afford orthodontics. So that wouldn't have happened. But if it had happened, an orthodontist probably would have extracted teeth. Now, here's what happens when that does. My lips fall back. Okay. Plus, not only do I have a big nose, big chin, I've got very thin lips. Okay. Well, if we look today in what is considered beauty in our society, okay, and it changes from society to society, it's volume in the face. People don't go through plastic surgery and they stretch everything back. What they do is they inject or they implant and they push everything forward because you fill up the volume of the face. And so if they had taken out teeth, my lips would have collapsed more and my nose wouldn't have grown anymore, but it would look bigger and my chin would look bigger. So it would have made dating very difficult for me. Okay. It was difficult enough as it is. Okay. But it might have put me on the sidelines permanently. But anyway, let's not go there. That's not what we're here to talk about. My own personal problems. But I'm kind of jesting. But yes, those things happen. And it's what my profession, in their attempt to keep us a cottage industry, okay, we tried to stay out of the mainstream of medicine. And I think that's 100% wrong, because what happens in the mouth goes everywhere. If I have an infection in my leg, okay, or I have an infection in a vein, or I have an infection anywhere, well, you want to attend to it, because an infection, it typically starts with inflammation. And as you guys, I haven't listened to all your podcasts, but in listening to them, you guys kind of point to this. The reason we age and die is inflammation. Okay, that's what happens. The cycle of life is inflammation. So in the last two decades, there's been a big attempt to let's attack inflammation. Now, here, if we figure out a way to turn the gene of inflammation off, we're going to die. Here, and the reason is that's how the miracle of our body works, because when it's attacked, inflammation is the initial response, the inflammatory response, macrophages, all the things that cytokine, all the things that come in, it's to go, hey, what's going on here? We've sent out the EMS to this part of the body to figure out what's going on. And if we find that there's been an attack of some sort, we're going to go after it. Let's take COVID, for example. What happened with COVID? Okay. The virus comes into the body, and I'm not the expert on COVID, so I'm not going to go too far into this because you guys will embarrass me pretty quick. But It was an attack on the body. It could be on the heart. It could be on the vascular system. It could be on your airway. It could be nasal passages. Wherever it attacked, there was a response. For the individuals who did not have the makeup to do that in an efficient manner, it became acute, very acute. And then it started to go downhill pretty quickly. It would settle into the lungs. And the worst thing that could happen in COVID is you end up getting pneumonia and you get on a ventilator and then things go south pretty quickly. So the oral cavity is exposed. Our eyes are exposed to all the environment. Our skin protects us and our hair protects us pretty well throughout the rest of the body, but our mouth is open. We can ingest. So the eyes, the nose and the oral cavity are open to take in all of the things that are a lot of things that we may not need to bring into the body. So I chastise my colleagues sometimes and go, hey guys, what's good for the body? What's good for the mouth is good for the body. And we need to be sensitive to that. Only in the last decade or two decades have we begun to make the links that were always there, the links between cardiovascular disease and oral cavity. So the pathogens in the mouth, there's good pathogens, okay? Or let's say good bacteria, okay? And then there's bad bacteria, which are pathogens. Those pathogens can get into, they can easily, because the mouth is full of blood vessels. If you've ever taken a medication and they want you to put it under the tongue so it will quickly dissolve, I mean, you can get that into your system very quickly. So if you have pathogens that are going to attack other parts of the body, particularly the heart, they will get into the body. So if you have periodontitis or periodontal disease, and that's going to end up in the bloodstream, it's going to go to the heart, it's going to reside on the valves of the heart and create a subacute bacterial endocarditis or something else. And then that plaque or that film will actually end up in the bloodstream, and you can end up, you know, creating strokes if we're talking about head and neck, or you can end up with poor circulation in extremities. You layer poor oral health on top of diabetes and you have a mess, because those both can be silent killers. You can have periodontitis and you can have diabetes. And if you never go to a physician or a dentist, your lifespan is going to be affected in a negative way, because it doesn't hurt. Diabetes does not hurt unless you have pancreatitis, but that's a different ballgame. But it doesn't hurt. And if it doesn't hurt, we just don't attend to it and we move on down the road. So anyway, I hope I answered your question. I am a nerd. I go.
Sometimes. No. We love that. And yeah. I think nerding out is kind of what, you know, our audience likes. So, you know, we know, as you just pointed out, cardiovascular disease, periodontitis, it's, you know, there's such a cascading effect in the mouth. Now, one thing before we kind of jump into some of those other questions that are relevant to that, you brought up something that kind of just sparked an idea here is, with, you know, orthodontics, with the facial structure and with COVID, are masks and all the frequent use of masks going to have any impact on our facial structure? And I ask that knowing that I don't feel like I open my mouth as wide anymore when I'm talking to someone with a mask on. And I'm thinking about my 8-year-old daughter who's eight hours a day in a mask, 5 days a week. You know, what have we done to the facial structure, to our breathing structure, to all of this with 24 plus months of chronic mask wearing?
You're the first person who's asked that. And I applaud you for that because, okay, there's my specialty, orthodontics and dental facial orthopedics. Okay. Last part is about jaw development. The first part is about tooth development. Okay. So in orthodontics, we don't do it much today, but in my early career, okay. For a long time, up until clear aligners, let's put it that way. I put all kinds of crazy headgears on patients. I mean, I had put headgears that were pulling teeth back. I put headgears that were pulling jaws and teeth forward.
I had those.
Okay. Yeah. Those, you know, every night when I say my prayers, I have to ask for forgiveness because of all the people I tortured for decades with all this crazy stuff. Okay. And, there's a purpose for it because you apply a force. Now, To answer your question, the force is light enough with most masks, okay? If they go around your ear. Now, we may have a lot of people post-COVID that come out looking like Spock, okay? I don't know. So time will tell. I don't know if I'll do this research on that, but we may go there. You apply a force that's in the ounces, okay? I'm going to say somewhere in 8 to 10 ounces. That is an orthodontic force. It's going to move the teeth, probably not going to move the bones. Jenna, when you were wearing your headgear, here was the concept. Orthodontic tooth movement is light, continuous forces, somewhere less than 10 ounces, okay? Orthopedic forces are intermittent heavy forces. In heavy, we're talking about a pound, 16 ounces. Okay, that's not a lot. But if you apply that to a facial structure or to an arm or to any bone, you are going to get orthopedic changes that will occur. You can look at that with some of the implants that people put in, and maybe I need to get those because I'm 5'9". I'd like to be 6'1". Okay. I look 6'1" on Zoom. I'm 5'9" in person. So I'm extremely tall on Zoom. I'm extremely not tall on not Zoom. Okay. So if you put an expansion device in the jaw, or you put an expansion device in the leg or the arm, and you move that with the right force system, you're going to lengthen or contract that accordingly. That's what orthodontists have been doing in the head and neck region for, we're the oldest specialty in dentistry, for now about 120 years old specialty. Now, that's not a real old specialty, but it's the oldest one in dental medicine. So yes, that can have an impact. So that light continuous force is typically applied around the cheeks in such a way that it's not directly on the teeth. If it was directly on the teeth, there would certainly be an impact on the structure of it. Okay. It would restrict down as we grow our cranium. Our head is not far from the size it is as an adult. It's about 80% of what it is as an adult. But this part of our face, from below the eyes and all this, it grows downward and forward throughout adolescence. For females, it will stop around 13, 14, maybe 15 years old. I'm talking averages. I'm not talking everybody. For males, it's normally around 18, 17, 18, 19 years of age. I practiced in San Antonio for a while. David Robinson, who was, I don't know if you guys know, he was a basketball player, went to the Naval Academy. He went to the Naval Academy at about 6'8". Okay. And then he grew to 7'2". And that's in the 18, 19, 20 years old. So although he had grown a lot, he continued to grow. As long as you're getting taller, the lower jaw is going to grow like your leg. It's going to continue to grow. The maxilla is going to stop growing at an earlier age. So you can end up with differential sizes or orthopedic changes in the maxilla and the mandible. Orthodontists, we would take advantage of all of those things in trying to constrict those. With clear aligners, we've kind of moved away from that, because patients don't like it. And at the end of the day, it made some change, but it didn't make enough change to put people through that torture. There's been studies that have shown where the headgear was put on the patients, it actually would put indentations in the skull, because the skull was still, it was still soft. So, and those were patients who were like so crazy compliant, because you have non-compliant patients, you have compliant patients, and you have crazy compliant patients. Those scare doctors more than the non-compliant patients, because things happen so quickly.
Yeah, you and Val have both been, we have another friend who, had the candid, and I think it was, yeah.
I'm an extremely OCD, very compliant patient.
Crazy compliant.
So I am very structured and on my schedule. paid off.
Patients like you have saved gray hair and given gray hair, because also the OCD wants perfection. Okay. And that's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But like I said, that is, you have to attend to what the patient's needs are. At the end of the day, the patient is the one who is requesting things in the face, in the head and neck, more than any place in the body. Patients are demanding certain things. People don't go in and go like I did, my legs are too short, I want them a little bit longer. Okay. People don't go into the orthopedic surgeon and say that often. Okay. Now that I've said that, now people might start doing that, because you can actually do it. Okay. So I don't want to start a whole different problem.
That's your next business.
Yeah.
Next. That's my next rep. No, I think Candid is where I go to the finish line.
Gotcha. So before we jump into Candid and kind of, you know, all of the benefits of that, where you came up with that, you know, I do want to talk about oral health in the construct of what leads to poor oral health. You know, we talked about evolutionary biology, you know, kind of the genetic component of that, which can lead to the orthodontic issues. But what really in today's society is the biggest catalyst for poor oral health?
Okay. The biggest catalyst, and let's just talk about the basic fundamentals of oral health, is just lack of maintenance. Okay. If you don't wash your hair, it's going to get greasy. Okay. I don't care who you are. It's going to get greasy. You know, if you don't take a bath, you're going to have a lot of oils in your body, and there's going to be odors that come out of that eventually at some point. Okay. And the mouth is no different. It just needs a little maintenance. And the maintenance can be very rudimentary, as it was in, you know, before toothbrushes, because the first toothbrush was a finger, you know, you just kind of like clean things off. So oral health and just keeping plaque, which is film that will build up on the teeth from the saliva. So, because the makeup of the saliva can be unique to your oral health issues. Okay. There's enzymes, there's food products, there's all kinds of things that can be in that plaque that will adhere to the tooth. And that, if it stays there for, let's say, 24, 48 hours, that now becomes a home for pathogens, or sometimes the bad bacteria in the body. Okay. So odors for any part of the body, odors are bacteria. Okay. Let's just get right down to the fundamental of it. They're producing a byproduct. That byproduct is what they excrete. Okay. And it doesn't smell good. Okay. So I mean, I don't know of anything that excretes something that probably smells too good, you know, unless it's perfume. So that is what happens in the mouth. If it stays in there long enough, short period of time, you're okay. It will then, the bacteria will start to produce the byproduct that can be acidic. Okay. It can be basic, but it's generally acidic. And that will begin to cause gingival inflammation, periodontal problems, or it can cause carious lesions, which is it starts to attack the tooth. Now, you feed that with sugar, okay, or a carbohydrate that breaks down very simply in the mouth, okay, just under the enzymes of the mouth. It doesn't have to go into the digestive system. You get a carbohydrate or a sugar of any sort, and it now lives in there. It is just a fuel monster for these things. And then you can accelerate. That's why, you know, soft drinks are not so good. Okay. I've had my times of enjoying them. I don't know if you guys can see. I drink a gallon of water a day. Okay. And that, I'm not going to say it's a miracle cure. It's one of the greatest things for just maintaining weight, just keeping your body just replenished with hydration and working so well. It's the simplest weight mechanism program, I think, on earth. Okay. Can't sell it because there's nothing to sell. You can just go get some water and do that. But that needs to be there. Now, if that plaque stays long enough, it will harden and become calculus. Now, I'm not talking about math. I'm talking about I'm talking about a hard material, and you can't brush that off. So if you get into that space, you then have to go and have that removed by a dental hygienist or a healthcare professional.
That's the scraping that we all go through every 6 months.
Oral healthcare, that scraping is for stains. Okay. I'm a fan of red wine. I'm a fan of coffee. And since I live in hot Texas, I'm a fan of iced tea. So all of those stain, but you know, if you leave the plaque there long enough, it's going to cause damage. It's going to create pathogens, and it's going to lead to things that are not good for the body. That's where the simplicity of just fundamental oral health. If they didn't do anything else, just had their teeth cleaned periodically by a professional. Okay. Or do it at home, because toothpaste today, they have abrasives in them. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. They have fluoride in them. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. But you can pick and choose. You can get baking soda. One of the best toothpastes is just sprinkle some baking soda. It doesn't taste very good. Okay. But it is it's a sodium bicarbonate. It's a base. It's a basic. So it neutralizes any acids that may be building in your mouth. Okay. So those are simple things. I just want, I want my profession to speak out more about, you know, I'm an orthodontist. I want people to have a straight, beautiful smiles. I do. But at the end of the day, I really want people to have good oral health, because good oral health is putting you in a position to have good overall health. And you can be working out every day, doing all kinds of things, have bad oral health, eating right, doing all the things, and have bad oral health. And you're going to lose, you know, all of that hard work is going to go down the drain because you're competing against yourself. And again, I love the name, Complete Human. It's about every part of the body. If you get an ingrown toenail and you don't attend to it, you could end up, if you have diabetes and you have poor extremity circulation, you could end up losing a toe or a foot or something. It's everything matters. So, you know, looking at the whole body is extremely important. I encourage my colleagues, I encourage my physician colleagues to pay more attention to the oral health and to, you know, if nothing else on their health history, you know, have you had a dental checkup recently? Because it could be, that could be the motivation for someone to go see a dentist and maybe be of value to, you know, completing that cycle of good, complete human health.
Wonderful.
And it seems like the straighter your teeth are, the easier they are to clean,
yeah,
which means maybe the better your health, which I like.
That there's two things. Okay. I think, okay, I'm an automobile kind of freakish person. Okay. I like that. When my automobiles are clean and they look good, I take better care of them. Okay. Now, maybe that's if you're not a car person, that doesn't make any sense. But if your teeth are in a better position, they're straighter, they're anatomically in a better position, you're going to take better care of your mouth because you see the value of that. Okay. There may be as much spent, and I don't know this for a fact, there may be as much spent on pedicures and manicures as there is on dental health. Okay. Because people, that makes people feel good. Okay. And I think it's important. Okay. Because if you have a cuticle that's overgrown and you don't push it back, you can run the risk of getting maybe more likely to have an ingrown nail or toenail or something. I don't know why I'm spending so much time talking about toenails. I should have been a podiatrist. Okay. So I'm just going to stop there. Okay. I'm going down one of my nerd holes.
We do that all the time over here. Before we jump into Candid and what kind of, you know, that history, I have one final question. So, you know, you go through orthodontics, you get a healthy mouth. One of the things that you said earlier was that we've got a softer diet. So if we really think about a diet in the form of oral health, both in preventing or maintaining proper orthodontic structure, as well as oral health, in your opinion, is there a evolutionary diet that makes more sense than, you know, than the softer one that, you know, that you kind of mentioned earlier?
Yes, there's an increasing number of pediatricians, pediatric dentists, and now sleep apneic providers. Okay. And those can be in medicine and those can be in dental medicine. There's a lot of evidence point, and I'm not an expert in that at all. Okay. So I'm not going to pretend to be. But yes, there are, this would be someone good, one of my colleagues at Candid, Dr. Ben Moralia. He would be great for you guys to bring on to talk about this particular component, because he gives lectures and goes through some of the negative consequences of not shifting to I'm just going to go into the superficial. If there's no breastfeeding, okay, and it's always bottled, and you go from there to Gerber, okay, or the soft foods, and you don't go into some more, I don't want to say tough, but, you know, firm things, those help. Okay, like your bruxing is not necessarily good as an adult, but using your jaws and your teeth as a child into infancy and through adolescence, if you can get that going, back to the original question, it will help the oral anatomy to kind of kickstart itself and do what it's supposed to do. It's not completely self-correcting, but it's in the right direction. Okay. So if we can start getting this more into the mainstream for families and for parents, I think this could, it's not going to stop my profession. Okay. But it's going to keep us from maybe having to do a lot of things that we don't need to do. Early treatment is valuable. I really didn't like to see patients until about 7. And it had nothing to do with anything else other than they were just of an age where my personality could manage it. Okay. When I started dental school, I actually thought I wanted to be a pediatric dentist. My first, and it wasn't a pediatric patient, it was a 7-year-old female. I gave her a little injection as a dental student. She didn't say anything. These big old crocodile tears came rolling out of her eyes. I was like, negative. I cannot do that. That is not going to happen, because again, it just wasn't, it wasn't for my personality, because I, you know, I'm a driver and I'm kind of a type A and I'm moving forward. And if I had to stop and deal with that every day, it would really be detrimental to probably to my mental health. So I just didn't have, as they said in Apollo, I didn't have the right stuff to be a pediatric dentist. But orthodontist, you know, starting at about 7, the American Association of Orthodontists recommends that's kind of your first trip to the orthodontist. If you've been going to a pediatric dentist, the pediatric dentist is going to be keeping an eye on this as well and treating or making a referral to an orthodontist. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. Well, so thank you. And I think, you know, my takeaway from that is start giving your kids steak at like, at the earliest of ages.
or like a leather strip.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And no more pudding pops. So let's get into Candid, right? And for those of you who don't know, Jen and I have both been doing Candid for a while, you know, clear plastic aligners, no more of the metal mouth, no more of all of the taunts that, you know, you would see the high school kids getting. It's, you know, it is a virtually invisible correction modality for improving everything that we've just talked about, which is the, you know, the oral and the orthodontic structure of the mouth. How did you get into this?
Okay. First question, how's it going? Are you guys being treated well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I'm your orthodontist or not. Who's your orthodontist?
I forget the name. It's a long, kind of hard one to say.
Okay. So it's not me. It's not me. Okay.
It's not you. Yeah.
I'm actually licensed in 14 states. So in telemedicine, I can, you know, I have the ability as long as the states allow telemedicine to be applied. So yeah, here's what, again, I kind of told you my first 20 years I was in private practice, and then I went into academics, left Texas, went to Nevada, did my second and third ortho residency. The dental school, I was as the founding dean, had campuses in Utah and in Nevada. So again, I really loved academics because I'm just a real nerd. And I really wanted to bring some innovation to, you know, sometimes I think my profession is a little stale, and sometimes I think academics is very stale. And, you know, they talk of themselves as progressives, but just keep teaching the same stuff they've always been teaching. And they don't open up to concepts of innovation, not just in education, but in oral health. Things are changing. Things are always changing. If there's nothing that's static, if you're static, you've probably been dead for about 30 minutes. Okay. So that doesn't work very well, because there's no such thing as static. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. You're not just sitting there. That doesn't happen. So when I came back out of academics, came back to Texas, my first 20 years was the typical orthodontist. I'm embarrassed. High fees, you know, boutique. And it was, you know, it was in the middle upper class parts of San Antonio. And then when I came back, one of the things that hit me in the heart was I was missing so many opportunities to help people, because the price point was just completely wrong. The delivery model was completely wrong. And so I came back to Texas and I opened up a dental office with 20 chairs in it. It was like a dental school clinic. And because I don't want this to sound inappropriate, but there, as a business person, there's economies of scale, and there's metrics that you have to meet in order to make the financial side of it. So it was, I had to have a big office, and sometimes I would have multiple doctors. Okay. And I had to have a great team in order, and great systems to build the efficiencies so that the patient would be paying a significantly less amount of money, but they'd never know from the experience. If you took my patients out of Hearst Orthodontics and you put them in Texas Orthodontics, they would just go, "Dr. Hearst, your office blew up. It got real big." Okay. That's all I wanted them to be able to see. So I did that, and I brought my prices down, and I had to become more efficient as a healthcare provider, and I had to have systems. So in 2015, to get to Candid, in 2015, I was like, listen, I have tortured enough people with braces that at that time, the only choice available was Invisalign. So in 2015, I went 100% Invisalign. If my patients wore braces, they could change over or they could stay in braces. But when I finished them, there were no new patients that I started. Now, what I realized is that with the Invisalign aligner, that product, okay, which was good, it just wasn't great. There were some handicaps that I had, and I had to do certain things. I always had to shave on the teeth, and I don't like shaving on the teeth. Patients don't like me shaving on the teeth. We call it interproximal reduction. Now, cosmetically, there are some indications, and you guys may be experiencing it or not, where you need to shave a little bit of enamel so that there's not these black triangles that can exist. As you expand and you develop the arch, the soft tissue, the teeth respond the way they're supposed to respond. And we have a one-to-one relationship with that. But the soft tissue, we don't know exactly what it's going to do. We have some predictions. We have some algorithms that we use, but we don't know what the soft tissue is going to do. So in doing that, there's no reason for shaving teeth or interproximal reduction in our new model. And unless it's cosmetic, if you do it for cosmetic reasons, then you have given me permission to do something to alter the surface of your tooth. And no attachments. Patients hated attachments. So I would go with my patients and I say, okay, we're going to give you a clear aligner alternative. That's great. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then on the third appointment, I would put all these white pimples on their teeth. They're called attachments or buttons or something. And they would go, Dr. Hirsch, we could just put braces on my teeth. But, you know, they were close to the color of the tooth. Not always, but they were close to the color of the tooth. And so I was like, okay, you know what? There's a better way to do this. And so that was really the genesis, that 2 years of, I was the first 100% clear aligner practice in the world, as far as I know, 100%. So then in 2017, I met some of my co-founders, Nick Greenfield, Spencer Salavera, Lila Cosgrove. And I said, hey, listen, if you guys want to work together, let's build a system that's better than that and just go do it and make it happen. So we started in 2017. Next month, we're celebrating our fifth year that since we've been going. We started off initially in direct-to-consumer or in pure teleorthodontics or telemedicine. And just in December, you guys may or may not be aware, we pivoted. About a year and a half ago, we started the professional channel. That means going to dentists and orthodontists and saying, hey, we've proven our clear aligners work pretty cool. Are you guys interested in doing that? So as a business, we are closing down the direct to consumer. Okay. But there's other people coming behind that are gonna take over that. Okay. But I can't talk about that. No one's going to be abandoned. Okay. So don't worry about that. And we pivoted completely to the professional channel. We call it Candid Pro. And it was good because we now have our own manufacturing. We have our own treatment planning. I authored the prescription that we use based on my experiences starting in 1999 with Invisalign, but really intensely in 2015. And we have built that in with input from all of our orthodontists, because we're the only clear aligner company that is directed solely by orthodontists. Okay. So that's a unique identifier for us. And, you know, and so we've moved forward. We've, again, manufacturing, the technology that we have. We have a patent pending prescription, again, that I authored. And we've scaled this so that we can make it so much easier for even a general dentist, because myself as an orthodontist or one of our orthodontists are going to be overseeing this treatment plan. So you could get the care of an orthodontist even in your general dentist office. So that's kind of exciting to me because, again, at the end of the day, it's about scalability, predictability, reproducibility, and quality clinical outcomes. Because if a patient's not happy, I don't care who you are, okay? And some of our competitors in telemedicine or teleorthodontics have struggled with competencies or clinical competency. I'm not going to name any names because that's not of any value to anyone. But from the beginning, clinical outcomes is the only way. If I have one patient upset, okay, or not happy, okay, that is the last thing on my mind because, I mean, or it's the first thing on my mind because that's the last thing I want to hear. So what we've done is that everything that we've done, we just roll back all of our learnings into, it's kind of manual AI at this particular point. We roll it back into it, but we're building such a database that we'll be able to roll all these things into because you have to take pre-treatment records. You have to take progress records. You guys are doing the little scans every 14 days. Okay. That is a game changer in this space. If you don't do that, I have to have you come see me. Okay. Because I kind of got to know, or you got to take, you know, a lot of selfies and send me a lot of selfies so that we can figure out what's going on. So we get to be proactively engaged in your treatment and you don't have to come see my big nose or my big chin or your orthodontist. Hopefully they don't have that. I think they probably don't. So that, you know, that's a great thing. We use the latest technology in the materials that we use. Our aligners don't discolor because there's a harder surface on the outside. Okay. And you guys can't tell it as much, but now that I tell you, you can start looking at it. There's three layers. There's a harder on the outside because we don't want them to discolor because nobody wants it to discolor. I always tell my patients, drink with them, eat with them, do anything you want to. I don't care. Because you're going to wear them for 2 weeks and then you're moving on in a happy path. You're going to move on to the next one. Now, if there's a no-go, which you guys may or may not be familiar with, okay, that just means we didn't get everything that we needed done. Stay there a little bit longer. Let the medicine work a little bit longer. Okay. Take a couple more aspirin. Okay. I mean, that's not aspirin, but wear your aligners a little bit longer. Let your body is telling us your teeth aren't moving at the rate that we prescribed. So let's just slow down a little bit and let it happen. Inside is a grippier material. In between those two is like a high-tech elastic mesh that allows the outside to be firm. The inside will move to grab your teeth and grabs it like a glove and then moves them into position. And the way we manufacture, the way we trim our aligners, the way we do all those things is unique. And it allows us to do that without interproximal reduction or shaving the teeth and attachments or buttons or whatever people want to call those. Okay. Those are two massive wins for the patient. So that's kind of the unique identifiers of what we're doing. I've treated a lot of patients in my life and I've treated a whole lot in the last 5 years. And again, we're not doing things the way we were in 2017. We're not in 2018, we weren't doing the way we're doing in 2017. We just keep learning. And as long as you're, whatever profession you're in, if you're open to continuous lifelong learning, you're going to always get better. You know, your podcast, however long you guys have been doing it, every episode, you're just going to get better at it and more involved in, you know, how you want that to be delivered to your listeners. So anyway, I hope that answered some of your question about Candid.
Absolutely. So the question now, and I think now that we have to kind of, we're almost out of time here, is, you know, we talk all about oral health. We talk about, you know, the advances in oral health protocols. We talk about, you know, not having to go to an orthodontist now, because we have these interventions that you guys have worked diligently to create. So with the pivot in your business, the evolution of your business now going more towards a pro model, if someone's really interested in a cost-effective, and I don't want to, you know, I'm just using kind of paraphrasing your words, but an affordable solution for orthodontics, which will improve oral health and kind of touch back on all the things that we know good, clean oral health can do, how does someone go about chatting with one of your, you know, one of your pro professionals, one of your, you know, one of your outreach providers?
Yeah. Again, you guys ask really good questions because these are the, you guys are asking questions that patients ask. Okay. Because you're patients. So you're, I mean, it's unique that you're actually in the treatment because it puts you in a place. You know, if you drive a Chevrolet, you notice all the Chevrolets out on the road. You know, if you're driving a Mercedes, you notice all the Mercedes out on the road. So when you're in tune with that, it's awesome. For example, the Candid monitoring, what that is, it's a biofeedback system. It's feedback to me as the doctor, so you don't have to come see me. But it's also feedback to you to say, okay, you're doing what you need to do and the right things are happening. Now, sometimes a patient can do what they need to do and they need to be in the aligners longer. That just happens because that's the uniqueness of our own bodies about how we're responding. So what we've done in our model is still affordability. It's affordability to the healthcare provider so that they can turn around and they can not charge $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. I mean, they can if they want to, but they don't have to. They can charge a fee that is very fair because they don't have the chair time. Because if I get them to understand the model, the business model, every time a patient sits in the chair, if you sit in the chair and they don't do anything, it costs the dentist or the orthodontist $100 to $125. Just to schedule the appointment, the sterilization, get the room ready, get, you know, even more so in the days of COVID, okay, get everything ready to receive this patient, put on the bibs and put on all the things that you need to do, the team time involved with that. Okay, you can start taking those away. If your typical treatment journey is going to be 12 months, okay, and that's 12 visits, and we can make that 2 visits, you can pass that savings onto your patient and charge them a totally different price point. So this, I don't want us to give up on affordability. Okay. I don't want us to give up on accessibility because parents, they're single parents. If you have children and you're trying to take them into appointment, you have to give up time at your job to go do this. It makes it very complicated. My most stressed patients were parents. Okay. Single parents bringing their children to my office. Those, a lot of times, those friends and just people that were in my practice, they were stressed out because they were trying to do about 400 things and they only had room for about 200 things. And the orthodontist became one of those things that would get in the way. I like to see patients early in the morning at 7. Because by the time we got to the end of the day, I'm an early morning person. But at the end of the day, school events, things went, work events, so everybody comes in, patients early in the morning, they were a little sleepy head sometimes, okay? But other than that, life was kind of pretty clean for that day. So every day you just kind of erase the board and you start over, at least in a perfect sense. It's not always that way. But if you erase the board, you start it over. For me, my most productive time, when we get through with this, I'm done. Okay. Because I've been up for a long time today. I'm going to start my weekend a little early because I'm just an early riser. I like to attack life before people, you know, are up and going. And so I get to, you know, spend other times doing that. But yes, we are not going to abandon, we haven't abandoned the concept of affordability and accessibility and safety and quality. All of those are, it's a simple math, this plus this plus this plus this equals what we're working toward. Again, we're imperfect, but we're in search of excellence. And that's how we have built this company. And I'm so proud of what we've been able to accomplish. You know, we're in the early days of this company. There's so much ahead of us. And I applaud you guys for being patient. And I know that all of our candid orthodontists are superstars. I know they're going to take great care of you. And so wear your liners. If you know, 18 hours, we say 22 hours, 18 hours is kind of the minimum. Because remember, we need a light, continuous force. 12 hours, some of our competitors have come out and say, oh, it's just nighttime wear. Here's what happens. The tooth goes, it doesn't go anywhere. Because you have to get that momentum going. And once you get the momentum going, 18 hours, 22 hours works for everybody. 18 hours works for some people, but not everybody. So the prescription is 22 hours. And then the other 2 hours, do whatever you want to do. Just don't tell me.
I love that.
All right. Doctor, so if people are interested, do they just go to the website? Is that going to be the best portal to get information?
Just go to the website and that will point them in the right direction. And again, thank you guys for your time. I love talking about this stuff because, you know, the more we can get that in people's face and do it in a fun way, I think this is a very user-friendly way to attack what some people think is very personal. And sometimes the fear of the dentist is, you know, like crazy. Well, that's not what goes on. That's not what goes on here. And I can assure you in your community, no matter what dentist or specialty it is, there's someone in your community who's extremely competent and extremely compassionate, and they're going to take very good care of you.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we began this conversation talking about oral health. You know, what in evolutionary biology has caused us to need some of these orthodontic interventions? And you know, we found out the genetics and you know, a lot of us needing love from different people has kind of led us down the road where things aren't as homeostatic in our mouth as they might be in the rest of our body. But obviously, as we practice good oral health and we recognize the value of good oral health as it pertains to the rest of our body, taking care of our teeth, taking care of our mouths is essential. We've had a great experience with Candid. And I think, you know, one of those things, it's anything that we observe, we ultimately change. And in this, being more appreciative and more aware of our oral health has definitely led to, you know, I think just that awareness of what we need to do on a consistent basis. So we highly encourage you, if you guys are interested, to check out Candid. We'll put all that information in the show notes. Dr. Lynn Hurst, founder, and what was the official title? Is it Chief Orthodontic?
Chief bottle washer, chief, like, I don't know what, chief grandpa. There's a lot, but chief clinical officer. I am the co-founder. If you add all of my other co-founders' ages together, they still don't get to my age. Well, that's not true. That's a complete total lie, but almost a lie. But Evan and Jana, thank you guys so much. This has been a pleasure again for me to talk about the profession that I love and to be engaged with patients and people who are interested in the complete human. I love that. And I applaud you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank Ladies you. And gentlemen, this has been another edition of the Complete Human Podcast with your host,
Jana Breslin
and Evan DeMarco.
Bye guys.